prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, June 19th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hello, Dolly. Well, Hello. Gold today wasn't able to maintain a gain, but only down $1.30 on gold at $1,201.70. Silver's down 5 cents at $16.21. Platinum did a little bit of reversal on that one, up $2 at $1,088. Palladium was down 14 at $710. The DX today was 0.11 to the up, 94.14, and crude oil lost 91.91 at 59.54, and the paper markets struggled all day, and they're looking in the red, down 100 points on the Dow, but still at 18,013. You have the NASDAQ down 15 at 51.17, and the S&P down 11 at 21.09. 10-year yield 2.27, so that's dropping, down 0.08. And I guess the Shanghai markets, China's markets, they dropped about 6% overnight, but Japan and Hong Kong seem to be just basically flat. You know, not a lot of action in London and Germany either. So I don't know if everybody's just holding their breath, except China, just to see what's going on in our markets. But, of course, all eyes are on Greece. And, of course, they did a little bit of a deal with Greece today, I guess, just to make sure that their banks stayed open. But, you know, you would think that if they're doing this type of a thing on to keep them open for Friday, you'd be running to the door to get your money out before Monday, because there's a lot of discussions that their banks will not be opening on Monday. So
you know what that means? No toasters. People are going to have to buy, if they want a toaster, they're going to have to buy their own. You won't merely be able to open a new account in Greece to get a toaster.
Well, I don't think people really care about toasters, the Greece people anyway, but what's interesting, since they couldn't get a debt deal with Europe, it went to Russia. Now, they didn't make any debt repayments or borrowing money to help with their financial problems from Russia. Russia certainly offered it or would consider it if they did. However, they did sign a controversial gas deal instead. And so the officials on Friday, they agreed to build a pipeline that would bring Russian gas through Greece and into Western Europe. And that was reported out of the Russia state media today. Tsipras was in St. Petersburg on Friday. He says he's there because he believes that the role of a country that wants to explore its potential to succeed should have a multidimensional policy in its relation with countries. And, of course, the Russian energy minister. So the gas deal took the relationship between the two countries to a new level. So there's a big, they already share deep ties from their culture and the Orthodox Church to commerce. And you get a lot of Russian tourists to Greece every year. But this does bring them a little bit closer together. And it'll be interesting to see what this gas agreement does to the European Union, those countries. They have been, of course, we all know they've been restricting trade with Russia over the Ukraine crisis, and they're trying to reduce their dependence on Russian gas. So, and I think this is a little interesting. This pipeline is going to bypass Ukraine. It'll cost it. Now, this is kind of funny. It's going to cost about $2 billion, and it's going to be completed by 2019. The cost is going to be covered by Russia, with the understanding that Greece will repay its pipeline debts later. Now, here you have a country that can't pay its debts now, and
Russia's kind of smart about this, because it's almost inevitable that Greece is going to default on its debts. Greece is going to declare itself to be officially bankrupt. Not an absolute guarantee, but it seems I don't see how they're going to get around that. And when they do, they're going to write off all their existing debt, which means Greece is going to be debt-free and able to enter into new credit arrangements because it's got a clean slate. So Russia's getting in there and say they're about to be debt-free. We can cut a deal with them, and we'll be able to collect. Not now, of course, but in the future. So it may be that the Russians are actually acting pretty smart here. And on top of which, all of this reminds me of the James Bond film. Some of you may remember out of the 60s, I think, from Russia with Strings. Right? I don't know. Do you remember that one, Melody, or was that before your time?
That was before my time.
Uh-huh. I got another one for you, too. Does the situation in Greece make you feel like a little bit like Olivia Newton-John? Because it's got me going like John Travolta. Greece is the word. Get that, Melody?
No, I didn't.
No, don't you? Another one from before your time.
No, I guess. I can't get that. No, I know the movie.
The movie Greece. You understand? John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
People.
But I think about
what happens when they send people to public education.
I think what's interesting about this is the timing on this, though. You know, there's reasons why all things happen, and the timing and everything, and certainly their relationship is building. And,
you mean the relationship between Greece and Russia?
Right. And, you know, behind closed doors, you know, Russia is saying, if you need any money, let us know. And, Greece is walking away with this with probably a little bit of bargaining power in his back pocket.
I think they are. What they're finding out is they will have credit after the existing debt is wiped out.
Well, I think this gas pipeline is a big deal as it passes Ukraine and so forth. And, Greece might be able to, have a bargaining chip in his back pocket. Of course, this is many years away, 2019. You know, lots of
that's not many. As you mentioned, Melody, you'll discover that it's really not that many years away. Seems like a lot of years to the youth of our country, but those of us who are a little more mature, we realize 2019 is.
I guess it's not that far away. So lots of things can happen between then and now to be very mute, but interesting.
It's all interesting, but I mean, one of the things about it, if the world is going to come to an end, if Greece defaults on its loan, why don't we see a significant jump in the price of gold? You know, the world, the media, in a sense, say, oh, my gosh, the sky is falling. Really, this time we mean it. The sky is really falling this time. And yet the markets aren't moving. They're not responding to that, and they should be, in my opinion. Why don't they? You know, I think it's evident to me. It's just more evidence that Greece, at least by itself, isn't that big a deal. I was looking at a list of gross domestic products for nations. I think on Wikipedia. I don't recall where I saw it, but earlier today, Greece represents less than 0.5% of the gross domestic product of the world. Less than 0.5%.
Yeah, they don't have anything. They have olives.
What is the? My point is, why are we engaging in a global free trade and a new world order and a one world government if one little nation that represents a fraction of a percent of the gross national product is able to put the whole system in peril? This is evidence. Look. Something's going on here. Either everything's being exaggerated, or if Greece is this significant, why are we ensnared in the global free trade system? Why do we go in there? If we can be sunk, if Greece can sink the whole world, if that's what this domino theory and the rest of that, wouldn't it be better if we just minded our own business and stayed disconnected from Greece and Zimbabwe and who knows, Burma, if there even is a country named Burma anymore? You know, maybe we ought to just mind our own business and let them go their way and we'll take care of our problems and get on with it. But 0.5%, that's enough to imperil the whole system. It seems absurd to me. Here's an article from the Washington Times as Europe scrambles to pick up pieces of Greek talks failure. Europe was scrambling Friday to pick up the pieces of another failed meeting over Greece's bailout that reinforced fears that the country was heading for bankruptcy. What the heck are they talking about? Heading for bankruptcy? Greece has been bankrupt for 5 years. It's not heading for bankruptcy. The only thing we're heading for is a moment when we might have to admit the truth. The article continues amid signs that the Greeks are taking their money out of banks in growing amounts ahead of an apparent end-of-month deadline. Finnish Finance Minister Alexander Stubb said, right now, it's touch and go. No, it's not touch and go. It's touch and gone, as in Greece is gone bankrupt. Whether a deal can be brokered in time for an emergency summit of Eurozone's 19 leaders that's been called for Monday. We've been working on this thing for 5 years now. And now we're worried, oh my gosh, we might run out of time? And perhaps the biggest sign that the situation in Greece is getting increasingly unpredictable. This is text from this article. Again, from the Washington Times. Yeah, Washington Times. Increasingly unpredictable? I think that's a bunch of bunk. 12-year-old child can accurately predict what's going to happen to Greece. Greece is going to declare bankruptcy. Why? Because the truth will out, and Greece is truly bankrupt. The only thing that's unpredictable is the timing. Greece will declare bankruptcy in the next 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years. We don't know the timing, but we know the result. Greece will declare bankruptcy. They say this increasingly unpredictable. Are you people crazy? You know, I mean, this is like, where's the sun going to come up tomorrow morning? We can't predict. We don't know. You know, this is a toughie. Who knows? Who can say where the sun is coming up? I'm going to guess in the east, but, you know, I don't want to stick my neck out on this. The European Central Bank has said it's scheduled a teleconference for governing council to discuss emergency liquidity assistance for Greek banks. Okay? Just 2 days after it increased the amount it was willing to provide. The European Central Bank, they're not necessarily interested in protecting the Greeks or the Greek economy or the Greek government. But they are interested in protecting the Greek banks. Greece is running out of time to secure a deal to get money it needs to meet upcoming debt payments, which means, you know, this is just more nonsense. I don't know. I wonder how low your IQ has to be or how poor your education has to be to read this and not just, you know, just kind of giggle. Greece is running out of time to secure a deal to get the money to meet the upcoming debt payments? How will it get the money to meet the upcoming debt payments except by going deeper into debt? And when are they going to meet the new debt payments? You know, crazy, crazy, crazy. Greece is on the hook for $1.8 billion to the IMF on June 30th, supposed to pay on June 30th. The Greek GDP, however, the Greek gross domestic product, is about $242 billion in 2013. I don't know what it is right now. I'm going to assume that it's in the neighborhood of $240 billion. The $8 billion that Greece currently owes is, about, excuse me, $1.8 billion that Greece currently owes is about 3% of its GDP. Huh? Greece is either so broke that it can't raise taxes by 3% of its GDP or cut costs by 3% of its GDP, or Greece is simply hustling the European monetary system for another $8 billion. That's what they're trying to borrow is $8 billion, but their actual debt that's due is $1.8 billion this June 30th. For me, none of this makes sense. It's like an international game of pathological liar's poker. Not just liar's poker, but pathological liar's poker. The article continues, since Greece is effectively broken, relying on outside help, it may have no other option than to introduce a new currency. Most likely the centuries-old drachma to pay wages, salary, and pensions. They may be going to a new monetary system. It goes on. Both sides are blaming each other one way or the other. And you sit back and, oh, man, you know, I mean, give us a... I wish someone would just tell us what the truth of these situations were, you know, or was, or is. Europe scrambles to pick up pieces. Pieces? They've been fooling around for 5 years at this. Greece has already written off half of its debt. It was back, I think, 2011, 2012, I don't recall clearly. And the other half remains, and they're going to write that off too. Huh? World didn't come to an end when the first half was written off. Probably won't come to an end when the second half is written off. I don't know. It's... again, just hyped to a point that strikes me as unreasonable and, you know, certainly to some degree fantastic, Melody. What do you think? Is it real? False? Shall we go out and just bust some plates to celebrate or to curse, or what shall we do?
Well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I think some of it, like the gas deal and so forth, you know, I think that was important. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, just get it done, get it over with. And, you know, whoever's going to get a licking, let it, you know, get it done. You know, get spanked and let's move on. There's bigger problems in the world, I think, than, although, if you look at the, you know, connection with the Deutsche Bank and everything else, you know, the problems aren't so much the Greek's GDP that's going to be the problem. It's the connections to the derivatives, to the bonds, to the everything else. That is what the problem is going to be. It isn't so much, you know, because what does Greece do? They grow olives. It's tourism. They produce olive oil. I mean, that's... what else do they do? You know, they go on vacations and retire. You know, they have it great over there. They did.
Yeah, sit in the sun.
But you know, they did. But you know, so is the problem just as little as you have all that debt? And it's little debt, but you know, sometimes you don't need a big wave to you know, sink a ship.
I get that, but again, what we're talking about is it is the connection between Greece and foreign countries and other banks and so on. The lesson here is perhaps we need to learn to mind our own business
try
to indicate into every country on the face of the earth. We'll take a break for some commercials. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to remind the listeners, we still have that little special going on, 90% silver, $25 face value, and an AU $5 Liberty gold piece for $710. They need to give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com.
Got a caller, Dave from Michigan. Dave, do you think the world's going to come to an end if the Greeks don't pay their bills?
Well, what was it, Iceland? They didn't pay theirs. They said their bankers did it. They're not responsible, and they're doing okay.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's just pay for money.
Yeah,
if they want to go to a real currency system, then do that. But this paper money is paper money.
Right on, just write another bigger, you know, and who was it, Paul Krugman, who suggested probably back about 3 years ago that the U.S. just mint, I don't know, something like a $16 trillion platinum coin, which there's a loophole in the law that would allow them to do so, and they could pay off the national debt with a single ounce of platinum. Krugman is a Nobel Prize winning economist. And I believe he was the one who offered that suggestion, and it's just evidence. The whole thing is just nonsense. It's crazy.
There's that story, I don't know how true it is or not, about the German guy worked at a hotel, and he was a doorkeeper, and a guy gave him a coin, and then he wound up buying the hotel after the war with the coin. So I don't know if that's true or not.
During the 20s.
After
World War One, I think, and they went through the hyperinflation in Germany and blah, blah, blah.
Hey, listen, so, I've got 3 points here. One is the Detroit police officer, the police chief, came from Cincinnati. The first week they tried to carjack his car, and he fended that off. But then he told everybody...
While he was in it?
Pardon?
They tried to hijack his car, the police chief...
Yeah. His first week in Detroit.
Welcome to Detroit, huh?
Yeah. So then he made the statement, I wouldn't get gas that night. And then all these Arab gas stations, the guys got a little upset. You know, we got to keep open because if we don't stay open, we'll be here. Our stations are going to be destroyed. And so they're making all the stations now get, like, you know, $5,000 camera systems so they can actually who's doing what. But, you know, so now Obama, with this tragic incident we had the other day, he's sitting around and things aren't going to be good until we collect all the guns. But this is a man that said, quote, I'm good at killing people. I've got two words for you. He was in the Rose Garden with a little press conference saying, predator drone. So, you know, he wiped out a wedding party trying to get one terrorist. You wonder why these people don't like us? But, you know, he can do what he wants with drones, and you can't defend yourself with a handgun. So, I don't know. That's that issue. Second one is the Pope. Now, I read the Bible. I don't know if he ever read the Bible. Some people say he wasn't even a priest. But it says, you know, Christ said, render unto Caesar what Caesar's and to God, and to God which is God's. And this guy here is now with this 90% sure that we're in a global warming and we got to take care of Mother Earth. And, you know, I wonder where this guy is going. And the head of the co-founder of the Weather Channel said this is all BS about global warming. Now, I would take his word before I would take Pope Francis's word on global warming. And they must have something on him, too, that he's into this thing. So, you know, who knows what's going on there. But
go ahead.
What? No, go ahead.
Well, your second... your third question on global warming. I'm inclined to believe that global warming is taking place, in part because I can remember clearly as a child that we had significant snow every winter in northern Illinois, and it doesn't appear to be happening anymore. And I read that, for me, that's evidence I can relate to that says global warming is real. We know that the Arctic is melting. It may be possible for ships to pass around the backside of Canada, not have to break through the ice, and if they're not doing it already, in the near future. I think there's evidence of global warming, but there's also evidence of global warming on the moons of Saturn, or I don't remember, Saturn or Jupiter or whatever, and
right,
which tells us what is causing the global warming. Yeah, there may be global warming, but is it being precipitated by man's industrial efforts, or is it being precipitated by something that's happening in the sun?
Well, they say sunspot activity, but the 1991 Philippine volcano put more carbon dioxide in the air than all of mankind ever has. That's one volcano. How do you prevent that?
Yeah, I understand.
You know what we're seeing here.
This goes back a little bit to your second question. You're talking about how can the Pope, I believe you're talking about the Pope.
Uh-huh.
No, I can't recall clearly, but my response on a question of integrity, people say one thing and believe another one or do another one. And what this all gets back to, from my perspective, it's like Obama. He has no problem with killing people with drones. No big deal. You know, no big deal. But he's got to get the guns out of the hands of the American people. That's a problem. It's a question of integrity. All right, point one. And you talk about issues. You can't always do this, but you want to talk about the same. You want to maintain a system of values that's consistent, regardless of whether you're talking about basketball, football, baseball, or how to make peanut butter. You want to try to have some sort of integrity, and what we instead have are politicians who agree with Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton that a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. It doesn't matter what happens.
Right.
Nine people got shot. How can we use it? We don't really give a damn if nine people are dead. That's their problem. That's not our problem. But how can we exploit the crisis? And that's what we see in our politicians. And we see it in reference to global warming. We see it in reference to gun control and the rest of that sort of thing. It would be nice to know what people really believed in, and I don't think you're going to find that out from most of our politicians.
Well, there's elitists that want 6 billion of us dead. So, you know, whether they do it with a gun or if they do it with medicine or nuclear war, it's not the means, it's the end result. They do want to kill us. So, you know, what are you going to do?
We should identify the elitists and say, listen, you think we need six billion less? Why don't we start with you?
All right.
You can go after the people, find the people who advocate this idea, find them. You know, perhaps find their spouses and their children and maybe even their parents. Say, look, let's start with you guys. You want to go? You want to thin the population? Volunteer. Do something for the world. Put a gun to your head.
Is George Soros a U.S. citizen?
Not that I'm aware of, but I don't know.
Yeah. If he is actually paying these people to demonstrate and cause rioting and subsequently there's deaths, like in Ferguson and in Boston, and these people in Boston said, hey, we didn't get our checks from Soros. You know, he was supposed to pay us for acting up. Now, aren't you kind of at the top of the heap responsible for the deaths of these people, and shouldn't he be brought up on charges?
I think that's possible. I think it's certainly arguable and the rest of that sort of thing. We can make that argument, but the Supreme Court has in the last, 12, 24 months, I don't recall clearly, maybe it's even back a little further than that, but they've declared that political campaign contributions are a form of free speech. And they've essentially said you can give as much as you want, all right? And if you got money to spend, you can talk all you want. Money talks, according to the Supreme Court. And Soros would probably say, look, I'm just making a political campaign contribution.
Uh-huh.
I'm expressing my right to political free speech by sending some people some dollars. And given that the Supreme Court has equated speech with money, which I think is absurd, but regardless, given that they do it, it's going to be hard to hold Soros accountable, you know, for precipitating things by merely exercising his right of political free speech.
Harry Truman said the buck stops there. If you're the guy at the top and you're instigating this, I think you should be held responsible.
I agree with that. I get that. But who are you going to get at the top to agree that other people at the top should be held responsible for much of anything?
It's not going to happen.
You know, I saw an article just lately, and I tend to write on it, and I haven't had a chance to do it. I saw it in the last week or so. It was actually first printed in the New York Times in May of last year. The article's over a year old. And I stumbled into it just in the last week or 10 days, something like that. And it explains that the Supreme Court has been persistently rewriting previous Supreme Court cases. And they claim they're just editing the cases, but the truth of the matter is they are deleting sections of previous decisions, not just by themselves, but by other courts. Right? And they say, well, I don't like this idea. I don't like this idea, so we'll just strip that out of there so people can't claim it as a foundation for making arguments that we don't like.
That's the
interpretation.
History. Yep.
This is treason. This is not a small thing. And one of the implications, you know, we're talking about the elite and how they are not defending our rights and certainly trying to exploit us. You know, Soros is trying to take advantage to exploit us. Supreme Court's trying to take advantage to exploit us. And when they were confronted on this, they refused to say what cases, how many cases that they had altered, which ones they had altered, or what the alterations were. All right? They won't tell us.
This is supposed to be the most open administration we've ever had.
Well, we're not talking. This is not Obama. This is something deeper than that.
Right.
This is, Supreme Court, just rewriting history in the Supreme Court texts, in the Supreme Court decisions. But if we can't know which of the Supreme Court decisions have been rewritten, then how can we rely on any of them, as a legal precedent? You go ahead and point to a Supreme Court case that you'd like to rely on for your defense. All right? And I'm going to say, Supreme Court Justice, I think they've rewritten the case. Well, can you rely on that case? Right? And if you can't, what can you rely on? If you can't rely on the Supreme Court cases, what could you rely on? And the answer is something that the Supreme Court has not yet been able to rewrite, which would be Constitution, Articles of Confederation, Northwest Ordinance, Declaration of Independence. Those documents are so well known that they can't be rewritten. They can be amended and interpreted, at least the Supreme Court says it can, but there's an implication here. If the Supreme Court has been editing Supreme Court cases and we don't know which ones and they won't tell us, then we can't rely on those Supreme Court cases, at least not the digital ones. I don't think they can't be editing the books. If you've got a physical copy, got a book, okay, you can find out what was really said back in the day. But if you're relying on a digital version of the Supreme Court decision from 1990, who knows how far back? They won't say. If you're relying on a digital copy, not reliable. Interesting.
Now, I've seen even that the History Channel in the last 20 years has changed history, where I've got old tapes from the old shows, and now they've got a new slant on World War II and the Korean War, and it's rewriting history.
I used to subscribe to the Scientific American when I was a kid, and it was really a wonderful publication, I thought. And even though I was a child, and, you know, up to the time I was in high school and the rest of that, I remember the articles. They were intelligent and challenging, right? And the editions I've seen in recent years of Scientific American, they're watered down to where they're not a challenge anymore. And it's not just because I'm an adult that says if they're written for eighth graders. They were originally written for college graduates. Now they're written for eighth graders.
No, they're written for college graduates today. They say the IQ in America has dropped another 7 points.
Well, so, I wouldn't be surprised. What is it? What is the IQ today? Do you know the average IQ?
Oh, it was supposedly 100, but now it's probably around 94. According to the recent things I've heard. So, I don't know. There's common sense. Forget IQ. There's common sense, and a lot of people don't have that. So,
I agree.
Okay, one last thing. Everybody out there, as long as you can trade in these worthless pieces of paper with green ink on them for gold and silver, you're a fool not to do it. And to all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day. And if you haven't connected with your kids, and they're not coming to see you, you should see them. That's the problem with half of society today, that they've got women running or raising families, and the father needs to be there.
Yeah, I agree with that. We can maybe even talk more about that after we take a break for some commercials, but just as an aside, I did a study on it back years ago. There's 44 verses in the Bible that include the word fatherless. There's one that includes the word motherless. It's evidence that the people, even back in the Old Testament, they understood if you lose your mother, it's a problem. You lose your father, you're in big, big trouble. They understood it back then, and today we have a society that routinely takes children away from fathers, and it is contrary to the child's best interests. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, and we will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. It's Friday. This is our last 15 minutes or so of the program for this week. I want to thank all of you for listening, as always. And if Greece doesn't destroy the world over the weekend, we'll be back on Monday. Just wanted you to understand that. I want to thank Dave for calling in. And Jim from West Virginia is on the line. Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing, I reckon. Side comment, there are ever so many women who listen to Oprah and Phil who ran their husbands off, and we haven't seen our children in 15 years. We don't even know where they are. I'm experienced at that, but side issue. Anyway, heartbreak and all based on lies. Okay, the reason I called in was global warming. It's an extremely simple situation. If you burn a pound of carbon completely, you get 14,450 BTUs of heat to British thermal units. One BTU is about the heat a kitchen batch gives you. When a plant takes that carbon in the form of carbon dioxide and turns it back into carbon in the form of the plant, would you want to guess how many BTUs it pulls out of the environment?
1,400 and so or so?
Yeah, 14,450. Now, that's true for Newtonian physics. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It just changes forms. Now, nuclear, a little different. You take mass, turn it into heat. Do you see the people raising a stink about global warming saying anything about nuclear power plants? Do you see anybody running around gobbling up heat and sucking it up and turning it back into mass? I don't think so, even if it's possible. Point two, there's no such thing as a material that allows heat to pass one way and not the other. If there were such a material, we could put it on our houses in the wintertime, keep them nice and warm throughout the heating system, flip them over for the summertime throughout the AC. It violates all the laws of thermodynamics. There is no active transport for heat, so forget it. Okay, you can change the amount of heat, and believe me, I've had thermodynamics. Now, for whatever reason, the bottom line on the global warming is very, very simple. It's all about a carbon tax. So the total size of the Arctic caps is growing overall. Lord Monckton has said this has been growing also. All the Great Lakes froze over last year pretty much, first time in like forever and a day. Minimal sunspot activity, so it is affected by the sun. I've known since I was a kid there was a 200-year sunspot cycle. And 1620, it snowed in June in Massachusetts. Minimal sunspots, early 1800s, is also associated with the crust shrinking. So you get more volcanic activity and more earthquakes. New Madrid popped in, I think, 1812. So global warming and cooling is true, but not cause of man-made anything. And there is no such thing as a greenhouse gas. The thermodynamic characteristics of most of the gases are very close to each other. So let's just put the global warming thing into place. Incidentally, my dad wrote the ground school manuals for our pilots during World War II, including meteorology. We had things in our house like a sling hygrometer with which one determines the dew point and or relative humidity. And we had a wet and dry bulb thermometer in the house, and Dad made an enclosure for the thermometer, which was then calibrated and checked by the National Bureau of Standards. It's now NIST. And it's supposed to be inside a certain enclosure. It's white, louvered. It opens away from the sun. It's to be kept in the shade, oh, so much away from any heat or sources, et cetera, et cetera. So there are standards which have been totally violated by all this other garbage. So, once again, there's a difference between temperature and snow. People will ask, will tell you, if it's real cold, it don't snow.
And, oh, I agree. I agree. It's got to be close to freezing for it to, right around the freezing temperature, 32 degrees, whatever. You'll see snow in that. You're not going to see snow at 10 below. Very
right.
Unlikely. I won't say you're not, but very unlikely. Go ahead.
And you were, and you were very right about Scientific American. We've held 20 different scientific journals when I was a kid. Dad worked for Carbad and farted. But most of everything has been junked down, watered down, popular mechanics, popular science, Scientific American. So, folks, if you want the truth, you're really going to have to seek it, because if somebody's spoon-feeding it to you, there's a good chance that what's in that spoon ain't food. So
you're being indoctrinated rather than educated. And it's part of the reason I said this on another program, and I think it was when you were there, crossed my mind that the only real education in this world might not be true in all worlds, but in this world, if you want to be educated, you have to be self-educated. All right. If you want to find out what's going on, you got to look for it yourself, because if you're going to just rely particularly on the government, public schools teach you the truth, good luck with that.
Oh, I got one for you, too. Educate comes from Latin. E means out. Duke means lead. Lead out, as though implied ignorance. We've gone in my lifetime from education, because I went to some real good schools, all jokes aside, to indoctrination. You will think this. So now we are down to obedience training. It doesn't even have a doctrine to it. It's obedience training. So if you have any kids or lambs or puppies or kittens, which you need to go to obedience school along with their stupid parents, go to the public schools. I think I've said enough to get in trouble.
Well, I don't know who's going to give you any trouble, Jim. We've had, the government would like to probably, but I think they've got a pretty long list. It's hard to get to everybody that they'd like to get to at this point in time, but who can say?
You guys are good.
All right, Jim, thank you for your call.
God bless.
God bless. What's next, Melody?
Maybe I'll send Ruby to public school so she gets her obedience training.
Ruby being your pet dog, but are you thinking about sending her as a student or as a teacher?
Well... Good question.
Yeah, I know.
Good question. Now, she would, obedience training, she needs that, so she would have to go as a student.
Well, the government thinks we all need obedience training.
Yes.
You need obedience training, and I need obedience training, and maybe, who knows, government can give us some group rates. You, me, and Ruby, we can get obedience training so we know what's politically correct.
Correct.
Say, yeah. It'll be like they used to have re-education camps in China, where they taught people what they needed to think during the Mao, during the era when Mao, Chairman Mao was running the country. Who knows? We're going to maybe have some re-education, compounds here in the United States where we will be taught what to think. And we can write essays, and people criticize their essays. And we'll stay in those compounds and those camps until we really, really believe whatever it is the government is teaching us and indoctrinating us to believe. Think that'll happen, Melody?
Don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to watch and see. Here's something from Casey Research, also hammering the Greece situation. But they say, and they make some nice observations here. According to Casey Research, Greece is stuck in a terrible catch-22. It can't repay its debts unless the economy starts growing again. But it can't grow unless it gets debt relief. So what they're saying here is they come to a super obvious conclusion. Greece can't and therefore won't repay its debts. If we leave the debt, Greece, the Greek economy can't grow. They'll be too busy paying off the debt and paying off the interest on the debt to allow the economy to grow. Right? If we leave the debt, can't grow, Greece can't on its own pay the debt. If we cancel the debt, then the Greek economy could grow, but the debt has to be canceled. Either way, the Greek economy is the Greek debt has to be dispatched. I won't say that it's going to happen in the next 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever it is necessarily, but it could, and it will eventually. Might happen this month, might happen next week. We'll watch and see. They go on and say, of course, the bailouts, the original bailouts, force Greece to take on even more debt. All right? With the condition of that Greece cut government spending, which only depressed the Greek economy more. Of course, the bailouts were never intended to help the Greek people. The European Union designed the bailouts to rescue the foolish banks that had lent Greece too much money. That was what the bailouts were about. Let's give the Greeks money so they can pay our buddies, the bankers, who were dumb enough to lend the money to Greece in the first place. Latest news is that the radical wing of Greece's party is planning to nationalize Greek banks and bring back Greece's old currency, the drachma. Now, I am not in favor of government, any government, nationalizing anything. All right? Government's too powerful. They have too much. They should be trimmed. They have great ideas, or at least great sales pitches. They won't even say great ideas, but they have sophisticated sales pitches to teach us why we should give our land, our property, our businesses, whatever, to the government, who screws up virtually everything it touches. But I don't like anybody nationalizing anything, including the Greek banks. Still, if Greece nationalizes the Greek banks, my gut emotion, it might not be rational, my gut emotion is I'm somewhat inclined to say, well, good, that's a good thing. The banking system has been behind this Greek tragedy all along. This is not to say that the Greek banking system has been behind the problem, but at least they're part of this global banking system that seems determined to run the world. So, if some of the bankers lose their banks to the government, well, I don't like nationalization, but on the other hand, if they're nationalizing banks, maybe it's not such a bad idea. Who knows? Maybe responsible Greek bankers could put Greece back on the right path. I wouldn't bet that's going to happen, but it's conceivable. What do you think, Maldy?
Well, no. I mean, if those banks are taken over by government, I mean, you have to have an honest government for it. I mean, they're just as corrupt as the banks.
I agree.
And so that's what we already have.
So why, what's the lesson here? And the lesson is, I don't care who you put in charge of the banks. I don't care who you put in charge of the economy. It's only a question of time before whoever is in charge realizes, I could make a whole lot of money if I just moved the economy right or left, or maybe I just told a good friend of mine, look, bet on this. Like, it's like fixing a horse race and say, look, bet on Greased Lightning in the third. The fix is in because I'm running the racetrack. I'm running the economy. The temptation to manipulate and try to profit from positions of power is perhaps too great for the vast majority of people to resist. Right? Maybe it's too great for anybody to resist. So what do you do if control, significant control of the monetary system, if that necessarily, just almost inevitably, leads to corruption and abuse? How can you prevent that corruption and abuse? And I think the answer is you put in a monetary system that's based on gold and silver.
Mm-hmm.
All right? part of the reason that there's such an opportunity for corruption, abuse, and exploitation of the system is because the system is based on paper and even digital currency, which is spun out of thin air. But when you have an honest monetary system with 1 ounce of gold and 1 ounce of silver, and it has a value that we are able to ascertain, at least in any given moment, a real value, and the government can't spin gold and silver coins out of thin air. It's the ability to spin that currency, it's the ability to spin the fiat currency out of thin air, that's what leads to the corruption. Because inevitably somebody says, look, as long as we're spinning, if we're going to spin an extra $100 billion out of thin air, how about we spin $101 billion and we'll park it in my account over in Switzerland? How about that? Huh? What difference does it make? It's all just illusionary money anyway, and the people, the dummies out there in TV land, they're never going to know, so why not a billion for me? Well, you can do that with fiat currency, but it's much, much harder to do the same thing when you're talking about gold and silver. Where are we going to get the extra $1 billion worth of gold or $1 billion worth of silver? Where's that coming from? It can't be spun out of thin air, and that means you have a system that is perhaps inherently honest, or at least as honest as mankind is able to be. I don't mean that if we were to install a gold and silver system, there would be a monetary system. I don't mean, which is mandated by Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 of our Constitution, but if we were to install that, would that guarantee that the system would run in an honest and responsible way? No, of course not. You still have people that were attracted to positions of power in the same reason. I can't remember the name of the bank robber from the 1930s. He said, they asked him, why do you rob banks? And he said, because that's where the money is. That's also why a lot of people are attracted to political office and political power. They say it's there, they're going because they want to serve. The truth of the matter is they want to exploit. That's where the money is. If we had gold and silver monetary system, not a guarantee that we would have anything like perfect honesty, integrity, justice, not a guarantee. But it would minimize the amount of corruption that we have come to accept as commonplace. We're going to get that gold and silver system one of these days. I think we will. We may see it in Texas first, but we'll see it. And perhaps the world will be vastly improved. Melody and I are out of time. Financial survival's done for this day, this week. We'll be back on Monday. We hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Payments fast, and still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Last you fast.